Turn in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And we are continuing our study on the I Ams in the Gospel of John as we look at the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 10. Stand with me as we read God's Word together. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, climbs up some other way. He is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but they will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. And now I want you to jump ahead to verse 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which also are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house today. We pray, Lord, you would just teach us the things you want us to know. I pray, God, we would see you, the Lord Jesus, as our shepherd, and we would follow you all the days of our life. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In his book entitled I Shall Not Want, Robert Ketchum tells a story about a Sunday school teacher who asked a group of children if any of them could quote the entire 23rd Psalm. One little girl, 4.5 years old, was quick to raise her hand. Well, the Sunday school teacher wondered if this little girl really could say the entire 23rd Psalm, but she gave her the opportunity anyway. The little girl came to the podium, faced the class, made a little bow, and she said these words, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want." She bowed again and sat down. Well, she left out a few verses of the 23rd Psalm. But I think she captures the heart of that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. And if we could have her heart this morning when we leave this place, desiring the Lord to be our shepherd, and that's all we want, we would be well served. I want to talk about this morning, what are the qualities of a good shepherd? Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. He said, I am the good shepherd. What are the qualities of the good shepherd? You can take notes in the bulletin if you so desire, and we're going to go along, and I'm going to move pretty quick this morning. What are the qualities of a good shepherd? Number one, a good shepherd directs the sheep. A good shepherd directs the sheep. Verse 3 says, of chapter 10, said, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He leads them out. A good shepherd directs the sheep. Now notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say he pushes them out. A good shepherd doesn't push the sheep. It doesn't say he drags them out. Can you imagine a shepherd with a rope around the sheep's neck trying to drag the sheep out of the sheepfold and into the pasture? The good shepherd doesn't drag the sheep. He doesn't push the sheep. The good shepherd doesn't whip the sheep. Doesn't take out his rawhide whip and drive them out of the sheepfold. Sheep don't need that. He doesn't drive the sheep. He leads the sheep. He sets the pace. The Bible tells us that Jesus compared the people he loved to sheep. Now, that's not always a compliment, because you know sheep are pretty dumb, right? They don't know how to get out of trouble. They don't know how to stay out of trouble. They have a tendency to wander. They won't drink when there's a running stream. You have to take them to still waters. There's all kinds of things about sheep that are not complimentary, and the Bible calls us as God's followers, as Jesus' followers, sheep. But Jesus is the good shepherd. And one day he looks at the city of Jerusalem and he desires to be their shepherd. And it says he wept over the city. He said, I desired to take you under my wings as a mother hen would take her chicks under her wings. And he said, but you are like sheep without a shepherd. Sheep who are wandering, sheep who are going astray, sheep who are lost and need to be found. And Jesus wanted to be their shepherd. I read this story about a visitor to the Holy Lands, and he saw the shepherds in Nazareth bringing their flocks in to get a drink in one of the local wells there. And when the sheep had drunk their fill of water, the shepherds called the sheep, and their sheep followed them away. Well, that was a little bit unusual, because there were many shepherds there, many different flocks of sheep. But the sheep heard the voice of their shepherd, and they would separate into the flocks based on the voice of the shepherd. And when the shepherd called them away from the water, their sheep would follow the voice of their shepherd back out into pasture. The visitor of the Holy Land asked the shepherds if the sheep always follow their own shepherds when they call them. And the shepherd replied, yes, but there's one condition in which sheep will not follow the shepherd. What is that? The visitor asked. The shepherd replied, the sheep will not follow the voice of the shepherd when they're sick. If a sheep is healthy, it will always follow the shepherd. But if there's something wrong with the sheep, if they are unhealthy, they will not hear and respond to the voice of their shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And listen, you can trust him. You can listen to him. You can follow him. And if you're not willing to follow the voice of Jesus, the good shepherd, there's nothing wrong with the shepherd. There's something wrong with you. You're spiritually sick. You're spiritually unhealthy. And you need to get yourself in a position to where you can hear the voice of the shepherd. The good shepherd directs the sheep. Second thing I want you to know is the good shepherd knows the sheep. The good shepherd knows the sheep. We read the verse there. It says verse 4. Verse 3 says he calls his own sheep by name. Verse 4 says he puts forth all his own. He goes ahead of them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. He speaks their name. You see, the good shepherd knows the sheep. He knows the troublemakers in the flock. He knows those who tend to bully other sheep. He knows those that tend to wander. He knows those that tend to stray away. They sometimes put their head down and begin to graze. He knows those who are younger and need help and need to be carried over certain parts of the terrain. He knows those who are older and wiser, and he knows how to watch out for them and put those younger ones with that group. See, the shepherd knows the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd who knows his sheep. He speaks their name. He knows their faults. He keeps an eye on each one according to their need. There is no fault that we have that Jesus does not know about. There is no tendency we have that Jesus does not understand. He knows what our tendencies are, and he looks over us. He calls us by name, and if we will listen to his voice, he will keep us out of trouble. He will keep us from the dangers of this world. He will keep us from the dangers of the evil one if we will just listen to his voice. Let me tell you what a shepherd does when he buys a sheep. He takes a large, sharp knife. And each shepherd has a distinctive earmark that he cuts into the ears of his sheep. in this way, even at a distance, it's easy to determine who the sheep belongs to. It's not an easy thing to do for the sheep or the shepherd. But it marks the shepherd's ownership that can never be erased in the life of that sheep. And you need to understand, when Jesus Christ calls us to Himself, we become a part of His fold, His flock. We become one with Him. He marks us with His sign and seal of ownership. It's called the Holy Spirit. He puts His Spirit inside of us and claims us for Himself. And He signifies it. And He seals us so that He can always claim us for His own. Jesus said, "If any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." The Lord is my shepherd is a psalm we often quote, Psalm 23. But my friends, saying the Lord is shepherd is more than just admitting to His care. It's being willing to hear His voice and follow His voice, even if it means leading us to a cross where we die daily. The cost of discipleship is great, but the good shepherd knows the sheep. Verse 14 is not a verse that we read, but listen to what Jesus said. "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." The good shepherd knows the sheep. Thirdly, the good shepherd protects the sheep. The good shepherd protects the sheep. In verse 11, He says, "I am the good shepherd," and the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Jesus died on the cross so that we could have protection from the evil one. Jesus was not a hireling. He was the good shepherd who gave His life for the sheep. And He said, "No one demands that I give up my life." He said, "I lay it down freely. It is mine to give." No one demanded it. It was His to give, and He gave His life for the sheep, because He wanted to protect us from the evil one. Notice in verses 11 through 13, the verses that we read, there are those dangers from without. He says, when the wolf comes and the hireling leaves the sheep and flees, the wolf snatches them and scatters them. See, sometimes there are dangers from without. The shepherd is there to protect from dangers without. There are wolves, there are bears, there were lions, there were thieves who would come and steal the flock. And the shepherd was there to protect the sheep. But a hireling, someone who is simply hired to protect the sheep, would run at the nearest sign of trouble. But the good shepherd is one who stays with the sheep, watches over the sheep, protects the sheep. But in our spiritual life, we need to also know that there's not only dangers from without, there's dangers from within. Dangers from within. Think about it. Dangers from within. Jesus talks about it in His Sermon on the Mount. He said there are false shepherds. There are hirelings who don't watch out for the sheep, who lead us astray, who take us to the wrong pastures, who take us to the waters where we don't get what we need. There are those who are false shepherds, and we need to be aware of those who do not care about the sheep. I want to say just a word of application here. How do you know a true shepherd from a false shepherd? It's always measured by what he preaches from this book. Does he preach the Word of God? Is his message consistent with the truth of the Word of God? That's how you know a false shepherd from a true shepherd. He must teach and preach and be consistent with his message in the Word of God. There are many out there who are claiming their own opinions as authority. But also you need to understand that ultimately the Good Shepherd gives us eternal life. Jesus gave His life so that we could have life. He protects the sheep. Ernest Gordon, in his book on the miracle of the River Kwai, many of you have probably seen the movie Bridge Over the River Kwai. It's a classic. But in that book, he tells of the Scottish soldiers who were forced to work on the railroad for the Japanese. One day as the soldiers were coming back to the prison after having worked a day on the railroad, they got to a checkpoint and one of the shovels was missing. The Japanese officer in charge pulled out a gun and demanded that the shovel be produced or he was going to kill everyone that was in the work group. Finally, one man stepped forward and claimed full responsibility for losing the shovel. And immediately the Japanese officer pulled out his weapon and discharged it and killed the man where he stood. When it was over, the survivors picked up the bloody corpse and they carried it on to the next tool checkpoint, only to discover at that checkpoint that absolutely no tools were missing. The shovels were all there. And the men in the group understood that one man gave his life so that the rest of them would not have to die. One man was willing to give his life. Jesus did that for us so that he could eternally protect us from the evil one, because the good shepherd wants to protect the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd. He knows the sheep, he leads the sheep, he protects the sheep, but also he corrects the sheep. The good shepherd corrects the sheep. We often think about this image in the 23rd Psalm. It says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." We think of the shepherd's crook, the shepherd's staff, and we think of the shepherd's rod, and we may think of them as the same thing or two ways of saying the same thing, but they weren't. The shepherd's crook was this staff. It was a long, slender stick, often with a crook or a hook on the end of it. And the shepherd would use the staff to guide sheep along a new path or through a gate. He didn't use it to beat the sheep. He didn't use it to punish them, but he used it to nudge them along. Sometimes the staff would be used, the shepherd's staff or the shepherd's crook would be used to grab a little lamb who maybe caught its wool in the briars and could not escape the briars. And the shepherd would grab that hook around the lamb's neck and gently pull it away from the briars and set it free. Or if it dropped over a ledge, the shepherd would reach down and with the crook lift the sheep back to safety. Jesus is the shepherd who uses his staff, his crook, to watch over us, to care for us. Maybe the staff was used to get a sheep from water, from mud, where it was sinking down and needed help from escape. But the shepherd's rod was somewhat different. The rod is sort of like a club. It is worn in the belt of the shepherd. And the shepherd learned from childhood how to throw it with amazing speed and accuracy. It was his main weapon of defense for himself and his sheep. He would use it to drive off predators like coyotes and wolves and cougars or even stray dogs. In brush, it was used to beat away the snakes. But it could also be used for discipline. Sometimes, the shepherd would have a wandering lamb that tended to wander off on its own so often and get into trouble. And the shepherd, in order to discipline his sheep, would take the shepherd's rod and he would break the little lamb's leg. And then he would put splints on the leg, and for a period of time, he would carry the lamb everywhere that he went. And by the time the legs healed, the little lamb would always stay close to the shepherd. And my friends, that is the image of the Lord Jesus as the good shepherd. He has the shepherd's staff that guides us, that directs us, that protects us. But he also has the shepherd's rod that disciplines us. The Bible says God loves those whom he loves, he disciplines. Sometimes a sheep will get too close to a poisonous weed or get close to some danger. And sometimes the shepherd would use the rod and throw it at the sheep. He couldn't reach out with the crook, but he had to act quickly and he'd throw it at the sheep to shoo them away from danger. He wasn't striking them to hurt them. He was striking them to watch over them and to protect them. And sometimes the Lord Jesus, His shepherd's rod, the rod of discipline, comes towards us so that we might rejoin the shepherd, rejoin the flock, and keep us away from danger. But the last thing I want to say is the good shepherd searches for the sheep. Verse 16, he said, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also. They will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. Now, there are some who interpret this to mean that Jesus has other flocks, other churches. You know, South Avenue Baptist Church is one flock, and there are other flocks that are not a part of South. You know people are going to heaven who aren't Baptists? Do you know that there's a lot of Baptists aren't going? Oh, you didn't know that? You see, just because you have a Baptist in your name doesn't make you a Christian. And just because you don't make you one either. Doesn't keep you out. What makes the difference to whether you're going to go to heaven or not? Do you know the Good Shepherd? Do you have a relationship with Him? Have you given your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Because the Bible tells us the good shepherd searches for the sheep. He said, I have other members of my flock that aren't a part of this flock, and I'm going to search them out so that they may know me and become a part of one giant flock. When we get to heaven, we're all going to be one. They're not going to be Baptists in one corner, Methodists in another, and Presbyterian in another. My friends, there's one body of Christ. One body of Christ, not many. And we'll all be together learning to praise God, learning to rejoice in what He has done for us. Luke 16 tells us the heart of God. That is the Luke 16, there's three parables there, the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. You remember the one sheep that was lost? The shepherd left the 99 in the fold and went to search after the one who was lost. And the Bible says, the one who was lost, when it was brought back into the fold, the heaven rejoiced over the one sheep that was lost that is now found. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of the good shepherd. You see, the church exists not for the sheep that are in the fold, but for the lost sheep who have not yet found the fold, who have not yet discovered the fold. God has called us to go out and search for that lost sheep. That's our call. That's our cry. Jesus says, go make disciples of all the nations. Bring them in so they may be a part of my flock. Jesus searches for the sheep. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save those who are lost. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Every one of those parables has something in common. Something was lost, and the owner sought to find it, or the father sought to find it, sought to renew relationship with the lost son. And when that happened, heaven rejoiced. Heaven rejoiced. Jesus is still searching for souls. Jesus is still searching for people who will be a part of His flock. Let me ask you this question. Is Jesus your shepherd? If not, would you let Him become your shepherd today? A famous actor was once the guest of honor at a social gathering where he received many requests to recite favorite excerpts from various literary works. An old preacher who happened to be there asked the actor to recite the 23rd Psalm. The actor agreed on the condition that after he was done, that the preacher would recite it as well. The actor's recitation was beautifully intoned with great dramatic emphasis, for which he received lengthy applause. The preacher's voice was rough and broken from many years of preaching, and his diction was anything but polished. But when he was finished, there was not a dry eye in the room. Someone asked the actor, "What made the difference between the way you did the 23rd Psalm and the response of the people as that old pastor shared the 23rd Psalm?" The actor made this statement, I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd. Do you know the shepherd? I want to close by reading Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For I know that You are with me. You are my rod of correction. And You are my staff of correction. Direction, You comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I often say the 23rd Psalm at a graveside of a saint who's gone to be with the Lord. But my friends, the only way you have a hope of heaven is to know that Jesus is your shepherd. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd who gave my life for the sheep. Is He your shepherd? Let's pray together.